You're listening to the Anfield Wrap. My name's Adam Smith, and this is AFQ Football. We've got some really great questions, but more importantly, a top-notch panel to answer them. We've got Sean Bennett, Carl Kopak, Paula Murphy, and Joel Richards to answer some great questions from you guys, including two from Robbie Fowler, the gobshite, not the footballer. But more importantly, we've got a question from Phil Pass, who says, who is Robbie Fowler? Brackets, the gobshite, not the footballer. So, Carl, do you want to take on that one?
Robbie Fowler is someone you tend to bump into at the match, normally when you don't want to see him, which is a lot of the time. I don't think he goes onto concourses. I think at halftime he sweeps through the crowds looking for a half familiar face. He doesn't get out.
He doesn't go to concourses. He just appears next to people like an apparition. Does anybody, I suppose that the more important question is, does anybody on this call not know Robbie Fowler? Joel, you're away foreign all the time. Do you know him?
Well, I know him through the Twitter sphere, if that is, makes any sense, as you know, nowadays a lot of people tend to know people just through social media. So I am aware of who Robbie Fowler is. I mean, I can't call him a gobshite because I don't know him that well.
Oh, you can. So no, I will
err on the side of not calling him a gobshite because, you know, I like to think I'm a nice person. I'm not nice all the time, but that's that. I'm digressing there. But no, I will stick up for him, seeing as no one else will.
Paula, do you know, a lot of people will know Robbie because many moons ago, the Anfield Wrap organised for Jeannie Wijnaldum to give, present, I think it was the new shirt when Liverpool did that thing of giving the new shirt to people. Do you know Robbie from that, Paula, or do you know him from anything else?
I do know him from that, but I went the match at Christmas. I went the Leicester game, the cup game. And then my last match before that, I actually met Robbie for a pint before the match. And then I met Robbie, and then I met Gareth of this parish. So yes, I have had a pint with him. And he was not gobshite-ish on the occasion that I met him. He was actually quite nice and very, very, very helpful.
Was it a very, very short meeting?
So,
yeah.
yeah, he didn't seem for long then. Yeah. So, Sean, to give an impression of, give an idea of why I say Robbie Fowler, the gobshite, not the footballer, he is a friend of mine. One of his questions for the show is, which Anfield Wrap host would you most like to twat in the face with a football, and why is it Adam Smith? So that's... That's why he gets called the gobshite, Sean. Do you know much of him?
I do. He's a good lad. He is a bit of a mythical creature, it sounds. I feel like I don't... He's like a bit of an onion, it feels. Like I feel like I know the top layer, but there's a few more layers I need to get to know. But yeah, I think he sounds like a bit like the Loch Ness. Like, everyone's got the theories about him, but you kind of need to see it in real life to believe it.
Yeah, that is an excellent description of Robbie Fowler as like the Loch Ness monster. He's a good friend of mine. He's a good guy. Sorry, Carl.
And an onion.
Yeah, an onion.
I'm just so happy you didn't ask me who I was going to twat in the face with a footy, to be honest, because that would have been a tough one.
Well, he's already Craig. Said it to me.
The answer's Craig.
What? Why, Paula?
I don't know. Just ugly him up a bit. Even, you know, just... Because he can take it. There's a lot of us that can't, but Craig can.
Yeah, definitely Craig or Fuad would be on the list for that reason of uglying them up a bit. I think that's what. I mean, I love that you jumped in with Craig and then for no particular... Craig, why? No reason. Just want to swat him in the face with the football.
There's too many to choose from. Sorry.
Right. Okay. On with the show proper. We've got numerous questions, as you might imagine, about AFCON and things around AFCON and about the players at AFCON. So I'm going to sum it up with the one from Steve Evans, who said, would you rather Mane or Salah come back from AFCON early? So only one of them is going to get knocked out early enough to come back. Now, as it, somebody else has pointed out that it's, I think even if they make the final, it's only one more game that they miss. But somebody else was saying, yeah, but, you know, a bit more rest time, a bit more training time, a bit more, or, you know, all of those sorts of things. So who is it that you want to have the rest? So, Sian, which one are you bringing back early if you can, Salah or Mane?
I'm actually going to say neither. And the reason being is I think it'd just be good to see them in the final. You know, we're claiming Salah's one of the best players in world football at the minute. I think to prove that, you've got to do it on an international level as well. And then Mane on the flip side, who's not having his best run of form, particularly not this season. I think it'd do him a world of good, if it's even possible for them to play in the final. I don't know how the fixtures work out. But I think it's good. You know, we want to have the best players in the world. They need to be winning more trophies outside of Liverpool. Maybe it's not ideal if they miss one game, but I'd say I want them to go far. I back them.
It is unquestionably one of my favourite things of this show when people just reject the premise of the question. And I definitely like that you've just heard that question.
Proper politicians,
I'm saying neither.
Proper politicians answer that, wasn't it?
Paula, which one are you bringing home early, or neither of them?
No, I'm gonna play ball. I'm gonna answer the question. I'd bring Mane back. And the reason, well, there's two reasons. The firstly, I think he might just let him get in the team without Salah. Just let him have one or two games without Salah. It might bring him on. It might force him forward a bit more. It might force him to be a bit more of the creative player at the top. But going to what Sian said, if we're going to have one of, if not the best player in the world, we should want ambition for him. I want him to win trophies while he's playing with us. I'm not saying I don't want Mane to, but Salah is just at the moment in his own groove, and I'd love him to win it. And I used to live in Egypt, and I've got a very soft spot for Egypt, so I really would like Egypt to do well on that basis and all.
Joel, it's one of those interesting things, isn't it, that during Messi's kind of height, one of the criticisms that was laid at his door was he never really did enough with Argentina. Do you think if Egypt won AFCON, that would be enough to really make people sit up and take notice of Mo Salah as Sian says, the best player in the world?
In terms of the general public, it'll make more people sit up and take notice of Salah, but I don't think it'll make people in the corridors of FIFA or the Ballon d'Or votes sit up and take notice, because they just seem to go for the same people every year in terms of who's the best footballer in the world. So I'm a bit sceptical on that front. But to answer the question, I would rather have Salah come back. And I want Salah to come back because I basically want him fit and firing for when we play Leicester at home. I wouldn't have him anywhere near the team for Cardiff. I'd give him basically however long, as soon as he gets knocked out, I'd give him a week, 10 days, whatever he needs to get ready for Leicester, with the sole premise of he is 100% fit and ready for Leicester. It's a massive league game now that the gap's 9 points. We've got to win. We've got to win every game possible. And I want him in the best shape possible and the best frame of mind to get over his disappointments. But it's funny that this question gets asked now, because on the weekends, of course, Egypt and Senegal were drawn together in the World Cup playoff. So one of them's going to miss out on the World Cup, which it is a shame when you look at the bigger picture. It is a shame, because you would love to see them both play on the biggest stage of all. But for selfish reasons, you know, one of them is going to have a month to 6 weeks off during the season next year. So they're going to have to feet up at home while the other person's in Qatar with a lot of other Liverpool players. So, yeah, if one of them misses out now, then if the other one misses out for the World Cup, then that'd be doing me fine. I'd sooner see Salah at the World Cup and see Salah stay on and win AFCON. As bad as that sounds, because I know Paul obviously wants Egypt to win, but we've got trophies to win of our own this season. So, yeah, I'm thinking very, very selfishly.
But it's really interesting, because I saw somebody... Sorry, go ahead, Sian.
I was just going to say, one thing it wouldn't help us out with is the contract negotiations if Salah does win that, because his agent would just go to town on Twitter with that, wouldn't he?
And that is the ulterior motive, Sian. That's what we've all got to be thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, so take it back. I want Salah back next week.
I saw somebody on Twitter pointing out that, you know, Salah looked really rested and good when he had like a week off or whatever it was. And then, you know, if he's not at the World Cup, with the World Cup being, you know, coming in the middle of the season because of Qatar and everything else, all of a sudden Mo Salah would be having a huge period of time off when the rest, you know, when a lot of the rest of the team will be getting absolutely shattered. And then everyone will come back and Salah will go, all right, lads, and just absolutely destroy everyone. So maybe him not making it to the World Cup isn't the best thing, Joel. I don't know. Carl, which one are you taking home early?
I think we should go the other way, and I think we should play the Cardiff match in Cameroon. I mean, travel restrictions have been lifted. West Africa is the time of year.
What an away day that'd be.
Why don't we all go to the equivalent of the Sing Fong Chippy in Cameroon and go and see them? No, it probably is Mo. Although, yeah, because I think I want Sadio to get more of a rest so he can come back a bit more Sadio than the Sadio he was when he left. It was still, by the way, scoring lots of goals, but it's just not quite as electric as he once was. So, yeah, if we can't go over there, and I think the club should at least lay on coaches, then I'd probably want Mo back.
That's fair. I think that's fair. Let's do away day in Cameroon. Perfect. Sold. I mean, you know, obviously at the moment you've got loads of people asking for tickets to the League Cup final. I dread to think what it'd be like if the away day in Cameroon just happened.
I've got a mate.
Right. Probably the Anfield Rat Lads would still do a coach. Right. Andrew Hill has asked, watching a game with my lad, I compared Tsimikas to a Yorkshire Terrier, which he replies, so what is Van Dijk? And so the conversation went on. So if you had to compare the Liverpool team to a dog breed, what are they? Obviously, we're not going to go through the entire team, but I will ask you to pick a player, and you can't have the player that somebody else has already had, and say what dog breed they think you are. They're obviously a big test for the cat lovers out there. Carl, you strike me as a cat lover.
Both, to be honest, yeah. Big fan of both. It's hard, this, isn't it? But I suppose I get to go first. It'll be Andy Robertson. And I'm just trying to think, of a dog that would be really, really lovable, but would definitely start ripping up the couch and stuff and then laugh at you while he's doing it. And I can't think what that would be. Some sort of terrier. Something like that. Quite annoying.
I can tell you that I've got a Jack Russell Poodle Cross, and while he doesn't destroy the couch, he is the definition of persistence. Like, you cannot out-persist him. So I think he'd be a good shout for Andy Robertson.
Yeah, so something like Little and Yappy, quite lovable, but you're not rushing home after work. You know, that's... And I think, great to get to take the dog for a walk tonight, because, you know, he's going to get lost deliberately and just sort of, you know, be a bit annoying. And I love Robert, by the way, obviously, but it'd be horrible to play against, wouldn't he? And if he was someone else's dog, I definitely wouldn't be taking him in while they went away to the Cotswolds for the weekend or anything like that. Sorry, but he's gone with you.
Joel, have you got a player and a dog?
Yes, but before I do, I was going to have a Jack Russell for Robertson. So you've robbed me lying what I was going to say, you bastards. right, I need to think of something then.
I'll go.
Go on there, Paula.
If you're struggling, I'll go. Right. I used to foster these dogs when I lived in Abu Dhabi, help run, look after them. With a friend of mine who started doing it and got too many. I absolutely love a Saluki. Do you know what a Saluki is? They're actually bred for sight and not smell. They are a breed of the royalty of the Middle East, and they strut around and they've got high shoulders. They're slim, they're tall, they're regal. And if that's not Virgil van Dijk, I don't know what is. He is a full-on Saluki full breed. That's what I think.
Lovely. I've just googled them. Very a bit thinner. It's got more of a Joel Matip look.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but thinness. I couldn't say it about Joel at the moment. The other day I could have slapped him, but I thought I'd go with Van Dijk.
Fair.
I've thought of one for Alexander Arnold potentially because of his slim build. I always remember him having quite skinny arms when he was in the under 18. So go for something like a Lurcher, boundless energy, can run up and down the wing. Quite skinny. He had, well, I don't know if he's still got quite skinny legs. I don't really look at them much, but yeah, I'd go with a Lurcher for Alexander Arnold.
Lovely. Very nice. Sean?
So I was trying to think of a dog that was like quite versatile and can do quite a few things. And I think a German Shepherd would be the best for Fabinho. Because if you think about German Shepherds, they're like the guard dogs, police dogs, military dogs, rescue dogs, can do it all. Fabinho is the best number six in the world. He can fill in at right back or centre back if you need to. And suddenly he's going for the golden boot. So he literally ticks every box.
Very good. Yeah, really nice answer. Really nice answer. Right. We've had a question from Robert Lawson, which I'm going to bring up for you now. So Robert Lawson has asked. Sorry, I just need to find it on the thing. I've lost my way. Okay, here you go. So Robert Lawson's asked, which player from teams below us would you take to give us the best chance of winning the league? Okay, so anybody from a team. So again, one answer each, and you cannot have the same answer that somebody else has given. And I'm going to say that they've got to be outside the top four. So I'm ruling out any Chelsea players. Sorry, Carl, I did that just to annoy you. No Chelsea players outside the top four, one player each, and you think they will give us the best chance to win the league. So, Joel, let's go back to you.
I'm going Jared Bowen. Because West Ham are currently outside the top four. If they were still in the top four on the weekends, I'd be snookered. But yeah, I'm going for Jared Bowen. I think he's had a great season so far. For those stats lovers amongst us like myself, his numbers are very good. And he has contributed a few goals. And he has, of course, been linked with Liverpool a lot in the media over the last 6 months. So he could be on his way to Anfield in the future. I really hope he is. I think he'd be a great differential for us between now and the end of the season if we got closer to Man City in the title race.
Definitely bonus points for the player being linked with us already. That's a bonus point on that one. Sean, I went to you late on the last one, so I imagine your dogs and players were taken, so let's go early this time.
I probably would have gone for Bowen. Maybe Martinelli from Arsenal, or I've always liked some from Tottenham, but I almost feel like they're not the positions we definitely need. I feel like it's more the kind of Hendo Millie position that I'm kind of getting worried that we haven't really got much succession planning for, and they haven't been putting the best shifts in, but can't really think of like the best like for them too, if I'm being honest. So maybe I'll go for someone. I've always loved the thought of us going in, you know, like when we were shit years ago and like Man United and Chelsea would just go around sweeping up like the best players from the top six. But we've never done that. And it's so annoying. Like when we're in our peak, we still can't just go and swipe the best players from the best teams without playing through the nose. So I'd love to see us go for Son, because I feel like that's the type of player we'd have taken off us years ago. I'm quite surprised he's still there, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that's a really good answer. Paula, have you got one?
Yeah, I'd thinking about our midfield at the moment, I'd actually have a cheeky little punt on Calvin Phillips. I think he might give us a little bit more that Ox isn't giving us at the moment. I think he's probably Ox 2.0. So I would like to see Rapinha, though. I think he'd be great. So if I go for two Leeds players, then in the midfield, I'd have a go at Calvin Phillips. But I think Rapinha in the front would also give us an extra dimension. So, yeah, I'm going for Leeds.
Okay, so, Carl, I really hope that you didn't want to take a Chelsea or a Leeds player.
N'Golo Kante is very underrated. I can't have him. It's probably going to be Youri Tielemans, just because I think he's an excellent footballer. He answers a few midfield questions, and he would really annoy Leicester fans if he went to us. So that seems to be the full ticket there. But I really do like Ivan Toney of Brentford. Just because he's the only person I've seen in a while who at the away game just basically played Van Dijk like he was human. Just went up for everything, outran him for everything, expected every second ball. And he didn't do much in the home game, but I think that lad's got something. It's probably going to be like a Divock Origi signing. I think he's really good. But I'll have to say Tielemans just for the heart and head thing.
And Tony likes the Reds as well, doesn't he?
He really does, yeah. He went mad on social media when he played it, you know, shaking hands with Henderson and stuff like that. It was all over his socials. But apparently he's been shot. I don't know where he is. No one's playing him anymore.
Removed from the Premier League. Right, David Robinson has asked us a not similar question at all. That's nonsense. I'm going to say similar question. That's just a lie. But it's a good question. But I'm going to introduce a similar rule of you're not allowed to say the same player as somebody else. So David Robinson said, if Jürgen had to sell all of the squad but keep one player to rebuild around, which player do you think he keeps? So I think it's a good question, and I think we're going to get a load of different answers. So, Carl, as I made you wait, I will
thank
go
you.
To
yeah, I didn't want to go fourth there. I'd probably say Trent. Probably would. It's different on that. No, I'm going to go the keeper.
Ah, damn!
Because you can't.
Damn you!
You can't mess around with the keeper, can you? You can't mess around with him, and he has literally got us points this year, including at the weekend. So I love Trent, but you want to keep your freaking nature players. We've got quite a few of them, which is quite nice, but mostly to annoy Paula because she doesn't like cheese. I will go for Alison Becker. Fancy not liking cheese.
Foul stuff.
It's bizarre, Paula. You're a bizarre person. But we'll go to you for your answer anyway.
In light of the fact that I can't have what I want, I I've thought about this often. If I had Salah or Van Dijk, and I had to give one away, I would probably give Salah away. So for me, it would be Van Dijk.
Interesting.
I'd keep Van Dijk and rebuild round Van Dijk.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. Interesting that we've gone so far with two answers that are about the spine of the team.
Yeah.
So, Sian, what are you saying?
I was going to go for Van Dijk just because he was the kind of catalyst of everything going tits up last season. And I wouldn't actually go. I wouldn't have gone for Alisson because I think the fact that he's committed to playing Kelleher in the final, I think he really rates Kelleher, and I think he thinks he's not as far off as Alisson as we think. And I think don't get me wrong, I love the bones of Alisson, but I could actually see Kelleher being our number one pretty soon, and it's almost making me think Alisson's a little bit more replaceable than we think, but still nonetheless, I reckon I'd go for Fabinho. Again, going to back to my point before of him being so versatile, and he was kind of gluing or covering over the cracks last season when we had so many problems at defence. He did put a good shift in at centre back, and then when we've got the fellas away at AFCON, he's even stepping up there. So he's just everywhere. I think we miss him more than we realise if he's not playing.
Joel, what's your answer?
I've already used them as one answer today, so I'm going to use them again, and that's Trent Alexander-Arnold. Not only the best right-back in England and potentially Europe and the world, but he's future Liverpool captain in waiting, and I just think that he is a natural-born leader. I'd seen it when he was captain in the under-18s all the way through the youth teams, and I just think he is going to be so integral to our Liverpool side for another 5, 6, 7 years, or in fact even longer if he wants it. So yeah, I'm pinning all of Liverpool's future hopes on our number 66.
Yeah, there was a tweet from John Muller at The Athletic this morning who said that 50 players in the Premier League have 4 progressive passes from open play per 90, right? 21 players have 5. 5 players have 6, 2 players have 7, no players have 8, 9 or 10 progressive passes from open play per 90 minutes. Trent Alexander-Arnold has 11. So when you said, Carl, let's keep our freaks of nature, I mean, I think Joel's pretty much got the right idea there because he very much is one, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he absolutely is.
Okay, right. Onwards. So next, there's obviously a lot of questions around songs, particularly with the Jota one kind of taking off a little bit. And so I'll go with one from Wayne Lake, who said, now that we have the Jota song firmly established in our repertoire, what song never took off that you were bang on board with in the past? So what was a song from the past that you thought, yeah, this is brilliant, this is really going to catch fire, and then it just never quite did? Let's go to Joel.
I'm going to go with the first one that's just sprung to mind then, because I heard it on the cop a couple of times when I was a kid, but it never really took off in the way that I thought it was going to be. And it was one for Xabi Alonso to the tune of Obladi, Oblada by the Beatles. It was one of those that you'd hear in the boozers quite a lot, but then you'd only hear it on the cop every now and again if we were coasting to like a 3-1 win or a 3-0 win against whoever. It wasn't one that really came out quite a lot, really. And it was more maybe one for the coaches and the boozers. So, yeah, I'll go with that one.
That's a good shout. I do feel like the Beatles are underused in terms of cop songs, just generally. The only one I can think of is the Team of Carrickers. That's the only one that springs to mind exactly.
Speaking of Beatles songs, by the way, Hey Jude needs kicking out of football, because the number of teams that use Hey Jude grinds my absolute gears. Brentford's play it both before and after their home games. City walk out of it now. Well, City have always sung it, but the fact that City and Newcastle both have it, City especially, proper gets on me with.
Like, and then really. they'll sing about Scousers all game. Straight
exactly. Yeah, it's honest to God, it just pisses me off no end. And West Ham have Twist and Shout as well after a big win. So yeah, kick Beatles songs out of football, but only for Liverpool, but keep them in for Liverpool only.
That's fair. Sean?
I like that Joe Gomez one, to Shaka Khan. Ain't nobody. But it's never really took off. Like, I see it like bubbling on the cop sometimes or on away days, but it's never really, probably because he's not really that much in the team anymore. But I think that's got all the ingredients of a banger.
Yeah, I think that's a really good shout. I find songs just so interesting, Carl, about why they take off and why they become a hit and things. Because I have to say, I've not yet been in the ground since the Diogo Jota one has taken off. But watching the videos and stuff, I'm just a bit like, it's a tuneless dirge and the lyrics are fucking awful. So I don't really understand why it's suddenly become so popular. Mm. But I think if you're in the ground with them, maybe it lights up. But is the one that's really caught for you?
Not recently. I did like Lucas Lavia to the tune of Love Is in the Air a while ago. That was you get that the other way game and nothing too much. I think you've got to give Brentford a bit of credit for getting the high notes in Hey Jude, though. That was quite nice. Because they sort of almost got there, but not quite. And every single time they did it, and every time they started singing, I was looking forward to seeing, is this the time they're going to get the note? No, is the answer to that. No, they're not. So I like the Alonso Let It Snow song. But you can't really get that going in the ground, really. I quite like the Jota one, but I do see your point. It is a bit weird, but I think it's like Tottenham in the League Cup in 2005. You just need an away end for of incredibly drunk, very happy people who are prepared to sing it for 6 straight hours, and then suddenly it's the song of the season.
Don't misunderstand me. I'm really happy it's taken off because it does. It's making a massive difference to atmospheres when the atmosphere's been a bit rough of late. So I am really pleased. I just don't get it. Like I don't get a song that's got LFC as words in it. It just doesn't tick my box.
Me and my mate Mark talk about the Steve Finnan song because he's got one of those legs that'll go in and go out again, which I don't quite understand either. He's basically just got legs.
I thought of that one very quickly. I thought of that we've got a right back called Steve Finnan one before my answer. But just on the Jota song, I could have sworn I saw a video the other month online before we played Milan away, and there was one to that same tune for Fabinho. I don't know whether anyone else has heard it or not, but I just found that quite interesting that it's now for Jota. But anyway, that's my
I have heard, I've not heard the song, but I have heard other people talk about the fact that there's a Fabinho version. So yeah, you haven't made it up. Paula?
This is hard for me because I obviously can't get to the game often. It's, 7,500 miles return trip isn't one that I can do often. So I'm not really in tune with the songs. I'm more in tune with, why hasn't this player got a song? So I think I was always quite sort of upset that Sturridge never got a song. But also part of getting a song or not getting a song is whether your name scans. And Sturridge was quite difficult to scan into something, apart from just shouting his name. My biggest disappointment, because I dined out on this so often, and he's going to laugh his head off when he hears this. I was convinced, and told all the Abu Dhabi Reds that John Gibbons invented the Jeannie Wijnaldum song. And I said, I saw them do it on a coach on the way back from the match. And they were like, no, was it your mate? I was like, yeah. So my thing about a song is falsely attributing the Jeannie Wijnaldum song to John Gibbons. So yeah, Sturridge not getting a song. I'm thinking Gibbo invented one that he didn't.
Brilliant. That's brilliant. Well, speaking of Gibbo, he's going to be responsible for our final question of the day. So Gibbo has asked, if your kid played for Everton, would you start supporting them? And I presume he means Everton rather than your kid, as if you've not been supporting them up until that point. If your kid played for Everton, would you start supporting them? Carl?
No. It's Steven Gerrard back at Anfield. Hope he does well. No, I don't. I don't hope he does well at all. I hope he has a terrible day. No, I can't quite do it. My little cousin actually has played at Goodison Park, and I just wanted him just to kick divots all over the pitch rather than actually play well. I don't think he could go that far. I mean, I'd still go to the game and I'd still stand there, but you know, I'd be dropping tea onto the pitch and stuff like that, and just basically being a bit of a nuisance and hope no one noticed. Can't do that.
Paula?
100% not. I'd probably go in Liverpool kit or something just to annoy people. But no, I'd go support him or her, whether it was girls or boys. But no, never.
Joel, what's your take on that?
Oh, God. It's like the Jamie Gallagher complex, isn't it? Because his family his dad's infamously turned into a big Liverpool fan, didn't he? So I'm going to say no, once, no chance. Yeah, and I've got two nephews, so if either of them turned around and played for Everton, even then, I'd probably wind them up even more on Derby Day, wanting Liverpool to win. So yeah, no.
Sean, what's yours? It's definitely, look, whatever else you say, it is definitely easier if you're an Evertonian and your child plays for Liverpool. It's like an excuse to kick the shite behind you and actually enjoy life as you move forward, isn't it? Whereas the other way around, how'd you do it? How'd you go, I'm going to give up fun and I'm going to become an Evertonian? Like, would you be able to cope with it?
Oh, no, wouldn't put myself through it. But I think it depends what level they're at, because if they're just playing for like the under sixes, I'm not going to turn up like giving it the two fingers to all the other kids, you know what I mean? Like, if they're playing like in like under 23s, which doesn't really matter, like I wouldn't see like an Everton under 23s playing in the street and be hailing abuse at them, because I don't know who they are, I don't really care. So I'd hope that they did all right at, you know, under 23, and then they got a big money sign into Liverpool. I think that's the best option. If they played for the first team, I'd probably, the best I could hope for was a draw and that they maybe scored, but never, could never cheer them on to win. I couldn't do it.
No, I think that's entirely fair. And I mean, the only thing I'll say is I think that I would support them because I haven't got a championship team. So for next season, why not? Right. That completes our fun and games. So it just remains for me to thank Sean Bennett, Carl Kopak, Paula Murphy and Joel Richards, as well as Andy Heaton for producing. You've been listening to the Anfield Wrap. My name's Adam Smith, and that was AFQ Football.